This is the Ink, Pray, Love podcast. We talk all things health, wealth, and community connection. Let's go. Welcome to the Ink, Pray, Love podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Baia, as always. Sometimes I'm not Aaron Baia, but right now I am. Today, we are going to have a very special guest for you. But first, can you please like, subscribe, review, do the things for this podcast, because it really helps me grow the channel, bring in awesome guests like the one I have today, and just grow it so I can just, you know, control the world in a very conscious way. You know, like I'm just trying to do global domination, but in a sweet way.
That's what all dictators say, Aaron.
No, but it's good for the people. Today, I have one of my closest friends, the banter is real. Jenna Switzer is a holistic sex coach. She helped heal me in weird and wonderful ways during my accident. We've been good friends for a couple years now. And without further ado, we got Jenna here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited. Yeah. I love our conversations in general, and I love them especially when we're talking about sex, because it just gets very exciting and interesting.
Yep. We're two weird people, and our banter is real. It's really great when you have a friend that you can banter with at that level and joke with, and, you know, in our friend circle, our banter is savage.
Oh, savage.
Like, we are savage. We're savages. When I was originally going to intro the podcast, I was like, yeah, you know, please like, review, and subscribe, because it'll help me have better guests than Jenna. This is the original thing I was going to say. But I figured I shouldn't just open with that. But now you guys heard it, so I got to use my joke. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So being a sex god or goddess, this is the thing that I'm like, ooh, okay, that's a good subject. When we're bantering about, you know, what do we want to talk about? What are people going to love? How are they going to get to connect with some wisdom here that you have? You've been studying this for years. Yeah. You got a wealth of knowledge. You're an expert in sex.
In fucking like a goddess.
That was also the Instagram story before this. Is, this is going to help you fuck like a champ. That's what I intro'd this as. What does that mean to you?
So I think when we were coming up with the title, like, obviously you want something that's a bit clickbaity, right? That people are like, oh yeah, I wanna do this. But the reality is that we want to have sex that feels good. We want to have sex that leads to pleasure, orgasmic sensations, orgasmic connections. Sex has a potential to open us to experiences that we can't have in any other way. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about like having sex like a god or a goddess, it means like being that divine being that you are, tapping into that as you connect with another human soul. And so how do you do that in a way that's powerful? How do you do that in a way that doesn't mean that you're just, you know, staring deeply in their eyes and missionary with all the lights on all the time? You know, like, how can you do it and actually it be hot and sexy and playful?
Wait. Explain having sex and connecting with your divine soul as if I'm not a fucking hippie.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Uh-huh. It is a weird thing to say. So there is obviously something inside of us that is similar in all of us, right? So you can think it's like what gives you empathy for someone's pain or someone else's experience. So when you are tapping into that part of you that is part of and connected to everyone else, that's kind of going into that divine part of you, right? That god or goddess, if you want to use those terms, or your divine self, your higher self. There's so many different words we use in the woo-woo world to describe it. But if you're in that place in yourself and you're connecting intimately and physically with someone else, there's a potential for a whole nother layer than I think most people, I don't think, I know, most people are having sex. Like, a lot of us are moving through the physical motions. And when we're young, you know, late teens, early 20s, that works, man. The hormones are pumping. We get that release. We're good to go. As we get older, the hedonistic adaptation that occurs causes us to kind of lose the excitement around these just like purely physical experiences. Mm-hmm. So being able to have that divine god goddess connection allows you to go beyond the hedonistic pleasure of just two bodies mashing together and go into actually a deep connection that you can have.
Yeah, absolutely. I got to agree with that because, yeah, definitely the hedonism was a big part of my life, you know, in my 20s and coming up with that. And when I got into a space of, okay, learning about meditation, learning about tantra, especially learning about presence, sex shifted. And it was actually something that was more of a deeper experience than some fleeting, just like, just fucking.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I like to fuck. But having a deeper connection was something that was like, oh, it was juicy. It was different. It was that kind of thing where it just, like, you connect to God. You have these techniques that'll help you dive in and connect deeper than just something that's like a wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. You know, it's something that was bigger. I think porn fucks us up a lot because it's there's not a lot of eye gazing on the Pornhub, is there?
Not a whole lot.
Not a lot of that.
Not a lot.
And so, you know, that's something that I really saw was a bit different. And I think the Western world can be a little intimidated by deep connective tantric sex. You know, not a lot of us know about it. It's not commonly, you know, taught or practiced, and so it can be a bit intimidating, and you're like, well, what are we going to do? Mm-hmm. Even eye contact is really intimidating mm-hmm. for a lot of people.
Yeah,
I found that quite interesting. But, you know, what were some of the things that when you shifted and you're just learning, like, if people are trying to get into it, like, look, I want to have deeper sex, you know, but I don't want to be doing some weird woo-woo shit. Maybe they're a little bit, you know, just not quite sold on it because they don't know.
Right.
How would you explain it to them? What a deeper, connective, divine experience in sex actually is?
It's, so one of the things that I think that men need to be aware of is their potential for multiple orgasms. Men often think that, you know, the pinnacle, like, sex comes to a point when they ejaculate and then it's over for them. You know, and maybe some good guys out there are still keeping on, you know, getting their partner. But when we're talking, the kind of sex we're talking about is where a man has the potential for multiple orgasms, right? There's not an ejaculation. There's no release of energy. There's a circulation. So that orgasm, if I put that in layman's terms, basically what happens is that instead of your orgasm going like down and out of you, it goes back inside of you and creates this sensation through your whole body. And that is a potential for anyone. And then for women, it's this experience of not just being penetrated and not just receiving, but being an active participant in that and experiencing deep pleasure inside of your body all over from that, right? So I'm not just talking about like some like, you know, spiritual, ultra spiritual, hippie, like kumbaya kind of sex. I'm talking about like, you know, going all night, round after round after round after round, and you're both stoked about it. Not one person's like, oh my God, when are they going to run out of gas? Like, I was done like an hour ago. You know, mm-hmm. It's like both of you being in that space. You know that I totally crammed your podcast because I was like, oh, I'm going to listen to every single guest. And one of the really interesting things is that the most influential people that you've spoken to had this kind of burnout of their hedonistic lifestyle, right? Mm. A lot of your previous guests are like into drugs, into sex, into alcohol, into like kind of crazy lifestyles. So it's not abnormal to crave experiences. It's not abnormal to want pleasure and to feel good. It's how we channel that. Mm-hmm. And if you can channel that when you're in your early 20s or late teens, you can channel that when you're in your 60s. It's a game changer. It shifts everything.
How do you do it?
Well, I'm just kidding. I think the thing that really blows my mind the most is the simplest practices are the most effective.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
One of the ones, and if listeners are here after they've listened to other podcasts, like you had Lucas on, we always all talk about breath.
Yeah.
And it's annoying, but it's so powerful. It's annoying how simple this one thing is and what a game changer it is, right? It can like unlock trauma in your mind. It can unlock a level of sexual pleasure that you've only ever dreamt of.
Breath is the key.
It's huge.
Absolutely. How many times do we just notice ourselves like simply while you're listening to this podcast, are you breathing?
Yeah.
Like right now, are you breathing mindfully?
Yeah.
And when you take a second and you're just doing this right now and we're all just breathing a little bit more mindfully, things slow down.
Mm-hmm.
Things get heightened.
Yeah,
and we're like, oh, wow, we're really here right now. I'm really listening. I'm really speaking. You're really listening. We're really here. The breath is the key to the present moment, and it expands it and it changes it. So in sex, of course, that was a big game changer for me. I'm happy you brought that one up as first, because just us breathing intentionally during sex, I've seen it amplify so much, and especially orgasms, especially.
Yeah, there's so many different things. And if we just take it from a purely anatomical perspective, if you're holding your breath, there's an element of fight or flight, right? In order to get into your orgasm, you have to be able to completely relax. Mm-hmm. Sex plays this really fun game between your sympathetic and your parasympathetic nervous system, this like dance that's back and forth, but you have to be able to tap into your parasympathetic, your relax, in order to actually orgasm. Mm-hmm. So if you're holding your breath, and I want you to pay attention the next time you have sex, is when am I holding my breath? Hmm. Because oftentimes for men, it'll be if you don't want to come too soon, you'll take a deep breath in and you'll hold it, right? And women, we're doing the same thing, not because we're trying to avoid orgasms. Some women have told me they hold their breath like they're trying to push the orgasm out of their body, which is a weird move that is very common. Breathing, not only with your partner, it's going to create intimacy. If you're like co-breathing and breathing in rhythm to each other, oh my God, that's so hot. Mm. But it also like signals to your nervous system. Also, your pelvic floor, which is innervated with nerves, it's where you're getting a lot of your physical sensations. It moves, it's supposed to move every time you breathe. So if you're not taking deep belly breaths, your pelvic floor locks up from stress, from tension, from Kegels, and then you get to your orgasm, and your orgasm is just like a little quiver because there's no sensation in the pelvic floor. Mm. So, and that's how we originally connected.
We've always been friends, strictly platonic, but yeah. When I broke my pelvis in the accident, I was like, I had so much healing to do, of course. And when Jenna, she actually originally reached out to me for coaching and to expand her business. And we then started talking about like, well, I broke my pelvis. And she's like, I teach pelvic floor, like how to actually heal your pelvic floor and how to use that. And there's just superpower down there. So she started giving me some exercises to do. And it was quite interesting because I needed to, you know, I needed to really handle a lot of things. It helped me pee better. It was weird. Like there was just like strange knock-on yes. effects of it. It helped me really strengthen that. So I was able to then strengthen my pelvis back again. And I was able to like, it's your root. Like yeah. it's your root of all you do. So the pelvic was those exercises were great. In the breath and tightening up your body and pushing out an orgasm. So that energy, I want to definitely get into how do we make women come easier? Because I think that's a big issue that a lot of people have, men, women, all of us. Like, the female orgasm is a difficult one per se, you know, that I hear commonly. But when we're going into the breath, you know, how is that going to help you orgasm better?
So again, it's that dance back and forth. If you're in this state or fight or flight, you're not going to be able to release into that orgasmic state. Your breath is signaling to your body that you're safe, right? Like a big issue in sex is that feeling of safety. Mm. You know, men tend to kind of carry this energy a little easier. Again, these are all like gender stereotypes, but like oftentimes, you know, kind of men go in there and they're like, oh, I'm in charge and I'm that, you know? And so women have this sensation of not necessarily feeling safe in and of themselves. Trauma all across the board, men and women have, there's so much sexual trauma that's occurred. And my heart just like breaks when I think about it, because so many of us are doing our best to connect through sex, not understanding all the things that have happened to us and how we're bringing them into the bedroom. Mm. So this breath is, again, tuning in, like it's a soothing technique. It's an exciting technique. It gives you that opportunity to move between like heightened excitement and release and relax, and heightened excitement and release and relax. And those waves are where those waves of pleasure come from. We were talking about them in the form of energy, right? That energy flowing through you. It's that sensational movement through your body comes in and out with the breath.
I like that one. I like the co-breathing. Like that's quite useful, I believe, when you're about to have sex with someone. How do you bring that up in a conversation? Like, yo, you want to breathe together? Like,
you can make it weird, Aaron. You can make it weird.
How do you not make it weird?
I mean, like easy ways. I mean, it depends about, you know, if people are into auditory, but like breathing in your partner's ear, slow and deep, and feeling their body. Mm-hmm. If your body is against theirs, like if my partner is behind me and he wraps his arms around me and then I can feel his breath, just naturally we as humans tend to sync up breaths, right? Us sitting across from each other, maybe not so much, but like you're in a moment, you're cuddled on the couch, oftentimes you'll just drop in and notice your partner's breathing. Mm-hmm. You sync up their breath. Mm-hmm. And then if you want to move it into a more sensual or sexual thing, then again, it's like maybe hand on their chest and give them feedback as they breathe mm-hmm. to the movement of yours. Or again, in the ear, just like slow, not like creepy.
Yeah, it's good. It's doing it for me.
Nobody likes it.
Okay. So I like that one. And maybe even talking about it with your partner in the sense that like, yo, if we breathe together, we can mm-hmm. link and sync up and yeah. have a better sexual experience. I think knowledge behind it helps. Yeah. Maybe not like, right. Like you could talk about it before you get in it.
Yeah. So the thing about communicating and sex is super, super important. You hear mm-hmm. this everywhere. I can't overstate it. But the thing is it's the timing, mm-hmm. right? If I'm taking off my clothes, getting ready for bed, and you're like, hey, I'm thinking about anal. Want to do anal?
Just all of a sudden.
You're just like, oh wow. maybe, you know, like, so it's really about like, how do you have these conversations yeah. with your partner? Hey, I love our sex. I think our sex is super fun. I've been thinking about some more like playful exploration. Yeah. What do you think? Outside of the bedroom, when it's just the two of you in a relaxed situation, right? And then when it comes to something like breathing, it's like, you know, you're chatting with your partner. You're like, hey, I was listening to this podcast. These two crazy wackos are telling me that breathing's going to change our orgasm. Let's play around with it. You know, here are some ideas that yeah. I picked up.
I think that's actually a great way to do it. That's what I was thinking in my head too. So you're not like telling your partner what to do. You're like, hey, I heard this thing. Check this out. Mm-hmm. I listened to this podcast and I heard this sounds cool. Do you want to try it? And you get so much more out of a proposition than a command.
Absolutely.
Of course, like, hey, I mean, breathe with me.
There is the dominance kink. So if you're like in a sub-dom situation.
Yeah, when are they like, breathe with me? It's usually more something like, you know, something different.
I feel so, like there's more less breathing going on.
Yeah, there. Just choking somebody out. So I think that's a different thing. But I like that idea. I think bringing it up is super important. And like, hey, do you want to try something with mm-hmm. me? Like a proposition, you know, question, not a command. That can be quite helpful because I think we can get in our heads so easily,
yep.
you know, and we can get somebody in their head so easily when we're like, I know more than you. Mm-hmm. Or, and then they start thinking of like, where did you learn this?
Right.
Like, who else were you with? Da, da, da. It's like all these things that like start, these tabs start opening in that person's head. And it's like, you don't want that. Present moment. Mm-hmm. That's quite important. So breath, absolutely. What else? What was the next one? Where did we get to?
One of the things that I think is really practical that I think everybody should be doing is pelvic floor work. So just really quick, when you and I first met, like before the accident, mm-hmm. I was calling myself a pelvic floor specialist because mm-hmm. I was so scared to use the term like holistic sex coach because yep. I was like, oh my gosh, like my parents are going to find out that I teach people about sex. And so I was using this term and I remember you being like, what the fuck is a pelvic floor? Nobody knows what that is, Jenna.
Yeah, no one's like searching, I need a pelvic floor coach, like anywhere. I'm like, your branding's got to shift.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was a big thing for me. But the pelvic floor is basically the muscles in your body that keep your organs from falling out the bottom. So the pelvic floor is the area of your body that's basically supporting all of the organs from falling out. Okay. And it's also the muscles that are working as you release urine or when you go number two. Mm-hmm. This is that area. So we have a ridiculous amount of people who are struggling with constipation. Mm-hmm. And we also have a ridiculous amount of people who are struggling to orgasm. Mm-hmm. We have a ridiculous amount of people who are struggling to experience pleasure, stay hard. There's all kinds of things. Now, is it from porn? Is it disconnect from the body or is it a chicken or an egg? Is it because your body is not online and active or is it your body's not online and active because of all the stimulus you've got? I don't know. And if I'm honest, for most people, it doesn't matter because the physical body is the easiest entry point, right? If you've ever worked with a personal trainer and you're trying to do something and they start poking your muscles to get you to activate those muscles, right? Mm. So what I would recommend is to get a cushion, like something squishy, put it underneath of you so that you've got some sort of tactile feedback into that area of your body. So physically, if you're sitting down right now, you can kind of wiggle side to side. You have your sit bones on your left and your right side. And then at the back, at the very bottom of your spine, that's your tailbone, your coccyx. And then at the front is your pubic symphysis. We call it your pubic bone. It's not really a bone. But so those are your four bony landmarks, right? Left, right, front, and back. And as you breathe, the set of muscles there are supposed to move down. So they should relax, turn off. And then when you breathe out, those muscles contract and gently lift up. They work kind of like a piston with your thoracic diaphragm. So your pelvic diaphragm, your thoracic diaphragm, inhale, pelvic down, or diaphragm down, pelvic down. Exhale, pelvic up, diaphragm up, right? So the idea is that, you know, 20, 30,000 times a day, your pelvic floor should be turning on and turning off. But for the majority of us, we're not belly breathing. We never turn our abdominals off. That maintains partial tension in the pelvic floor, causes constipation, causes urinary incontinence, causes issues with orgasm, causes disconnect from this whole area of our body, pelvic, hip, low back issues. It's crazy. And so if you just start to mindfully breathe and try to feel that sensation all the way down into your pelvic floor, even just trying is a game changer.
Oh, I totally get it. Absolutely. That was one thing that I learned really early on in yoga was Mula Bandha, like your root, you know, your lock right down there. Yeah. And that was something that I've tried so many times to experiment with, and it's come up so much in breath work, you know, and that's like, okay, if you lock that, that root, you know, muscle formation there, it can get you high. Mm-hmm. Like you shoot an orgasm or your breath just up your spine, you know, focus on your third eye, your crown. You're like, that's the shit. It's awesome. I do it all the time in breath work, but also in orgasm. And that's when you get those like mind blasting, you know, literally like your head opens up and like God is like, like, you know, it's like, those are the best. Like, and and it's the root there. Yeah. And then taking a big inhale up. And that's what people do, the like the Joe Dispenza meditations. And that's his whole thing. And he's like, squeeze and then channel up.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that I really enjoyed doing. So the pelvis and that root has so much power.
Yeah.
More than we think. And I'll do that. You know, I'm just sitting there and I'm driving and I'll just start flexing it and not, flexing it and not. And he said you can also strengthen it by stopping peeing midstream. Right?
Don't do that.
Why?
Yeah. So this is the issue, is that there are a lot of great exercises that came out of the late 60s, early 70s around this. This is when it was like really affirmed. Dr. Kegel was out there doing his business.
Wait, that was a guy?
Yeah, that was
doing
a guy.
Doing Kegels as a person?
No, it's Dr. Kegel. He was a gynecologist who helped a lot of women cure their incontinence.
Wow.
Because if you think about what was happening in the 60s and 70s and the housewives and after pregnancy, they're not dealing with the stress that we have in today's society. Hmm. The level of stress, anxiety, and tension that we maintain in our body now is unlike they were experiencing then. So that tension of like controlling the stream of urine actually can cause issues because we end up overly tense. When I'm talking about this breathing, it's a contract and then it's a relax, right? The same as what you're doing when you orgasm, whether you realize or not, there might be a contraction, but then there's a relaxation. And in women, that's what gives us the multiple orgasms. Like you'll feel the little quiver. As a vulva owner, you'll feel that like contract, relax, contract, relax, contract, relax. And the more your body does this in your day-to-day life, this is why I'm a holistic sex coach.
She said vulva owner, by the way, not Volvo owner. Like everyone's like, oh, she has a Volvo. Great. What the fuck does that have to do with this?
Vulva. Okay, yeah. The more your body does that outside of the bedroom, the easier it is to do in those intimate moments. So for you, this contracting, it's really important that you're capable of doing that. And you've been doing it for years, so you've got that art. Now you want to work on the relaxation. Mm. Can you contract and then fully let it go? Let it go, let it go. Oftentimes, people who have jaw tension, grind their teeth in their sleep, have overly contracted their pelvic floor, and it needs a bit of release.
Interesting. So I got to stop doing that thing.
Yeah, stop doing that thing.
Learn something new every day. This podcast is great. So the relaxation part, because I can think that can be a lot of tension, you know. I know you had a great list of things, you know, moving on, but I really want to hammer in today of like, how do we have better orgasms, especially for the ladies? I think it's so important because I think guys don't have much trouble coming. Like, it's a thing, of course, but like, it's usually the other way around.
Yeah.
And I, for one, and lots of men, we really want to make sure that our partner, you know, gets there. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like super important.
It's
something. And if you aren't concerned about it and you're a guy and you're just trying to finish first, fuck you. What are you doing? That's how you're not going to be a sex god.
This podcast is not for you.
That's a sex peasant. Don't be doing that. You right?
You pauper.
Yeah, really. Right? You got to make sure you show up and please your woman. But it can be hard because there's so much other things that are outside of our control. Their past baggage, their past experiences. You know, maybe they've had you know, just this and that and this and that. There's so many issues that can come up. Help making it easy for pleasure for females is a benefit for everybody in the world.
It's so true. Yeah. It's so true. One of the things I think I want to say right now, in case no one has ever told you who are listening, every woman is capable of orgasming. There is this thing called inorgasmic or anorgasmic, which means like, oh, you just don't orgasm. This, I understand, is an experience that people have, and also it's something you can overcome, right? It's not, you don't get that diagnosis from a gynecologist or a psychologist, and then you have it for life. It is ever changing. It's like being depressed, right? You can be chronically depressed. You can have dealt with depression until this day, and you have the control to work through things, to be in a different headspace, right? So it's, I mean, I know that depression is like its own complex thing, but so is sexuality. And a lot of people think like, oh, I've just never been a sexual being. Okay. Is that important in your relationship? Probably. So what are you going to do about it? Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So I want to really say that if that has been your truth to now, know that every orgasm that you want to have, your body is physically capable of having. Every woman can squirt. Every woman can be multi-orgasmic. Women can have orgasms from penetration alone. All of these things are possible. It's just a matter of attention and energy to that area. Mm. So I think that that's really, really important that people know, because that's where the light switch happens, right? If you think that it's just for other people, like, oh, that girl on the podcast, she was just blessed with it. I couldn't orgasm for forever. And if I did orgasm, it would be like, I can't even describe it. Like, you know, when you were little and you used to throw those like little cherry bombs, what my orgasms were like. It's just like out of nowhere, one would be like, ah, and then that would be it. It would be done. And I was like, is that what everybody's talking about? That's the thing. And so this experience of transforming my relationship to sex and pleasure came because I had such a terrible experience. I had this really rough sexual trauma, and it made me re-look at everything that I'd ever thought was pleasurable and intimate. And from that place, I was able to completely revolutionize how I was having sex. And so I want people to know this is possible. If it's a man listening and he's thinking about his female partner or even his male partner, like, everyone is capable. We are all capable and built for this kind of pleasure. Okay. Soapbox, I'm down.
I'm glad you did the backstory, because I like forgot to totally introduce you. Because you're just like, you're my friend. I'm like, yeah, it's Jenna. And I forget, like, people who don't even know who you are, I'd be like, what's your qualifications? What's your origin story?
I was just born orgasmically, guys. Yeah, I was just born. I came out. I was orgasming. It was great.
Yeah, my bad. This is my first podcast I recorded in a little while, and the first one back at Lighthouse, so I'm back in Bali. Yay. And so, you know, you're out of practice a little bit. You're like, oh, yeah, introduce the person. Probably not just jump into it. Tell us about sex, Jenna. And people are like, who the fuck is this? So, great, thank you.
You're welcome.
And so where were we? We're about orgasms. Okay, so many people believe that women, you know, I can't orgasm. That's a big thing. I've heard that a lot. And I've also heard, like, I have some friends who confided in me, and they had an abortion, and it really affected. Mm-hmm. There was trauma. That's traumatic, of course, and really affected their ability to orgasm.
Yeah.
What would you say towards that? Somebody who's experienced trauma, and they're just like, I can't anymore. It's desensitized or something like that.
So there's so many, like, sexual trauma. The statistics on childhood sexual trauma are appalling and heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. And so if there was a sexual childhood trauma, you need to have support. You really do. A therapist, you know, someone, a psychologist, someone that you know and trust that you can work through it, because it doesn't go away. I was listening to a friend of mine, Rena, who she was in the DA's office for years for sexual crimes in LA. And she talks about how it's on average a minimum, like the lowest end of the average is 10 years before people ever address a sexual trauma. Hmm. Which means if you had a sexual trauma when you're 13, you're 23 before you even admit to yourself that you had that experience.
Like, so, unconsciously or consciously? Because, like, what if you had a sexual trauma and you consciously were like, this happened, I need to get help.
You just put it, it's almost never does really? It happen. Because often what ends up happening is you tell someone and that one person doesn't react how you think they should. Mm. It's really tough. I know that we're all doing the best we can. And often the people that you're telling are not in a place to understand how to react, right? So I've heard so many stories of people who had an experience in their childhood. They went to their parents, they went to their teacher, they went to somebody, and it ended badly. Mm. They didn't get the support and the help that they needed, and then they just bottled it up, right? And it does come out. If you don't work through it, it's in there. So it's really important to get support and help when you need it. Mm. I think that's very, very important. And then past that, so one of the reasons that I'm so passionate about what I do is because my sexual trauma, I worked with a woman who specialized in sexual trauma, and she really helped me psychologically. But when I went into the bedroom, like, that didn't fix my numb pussy, you know?
Okay.
It didn't increase my libido. Yeah. I was still just disconnected from that area of my body. I didn't want anybody to touch it. I didn't want anybody to want it. It was a really tough time. So what I do is kind of that space in between. It's like, how do we get you to reconnect? And like a really practical tip is what I was just saying about breathing. Put a pillow underneath there so you get some sensation in that area. Close your eyes and just really try to feel the physical sensation of that area. Mm. You know, some people really like yoni eggs. Mm. For me, I'm hit or miss on the yonis, I gotta be honest. But what it was really powerful for me was that it was something that I could put inside. A yoni egg is like a crystal that's meant to be inside your yoni, which is the spiritual name for the reproductive system in a woman.
Your pussy.
yeah, your pussy. And it goes inside. And for me, it was really powerful because it meant that I could feel sensations on the inside that didn't belong to anybody else. Hmm. Because when I was first healing, I couldn't handle anybody else being in that area. Yeah. And as soon as they were, I would like shut off mentally.
Yeah.
So that gave me the opportunity to be safe and alone and with myself and to still feel sensation. So that's kind of a really, really powerful tool. And, you know, you're a woman, you're listening to this podcast, you're like, I don't think I have to deal with this trauma stuff, but I'm still not orgasming. Use a pillow, feel that sensation, focus on your breath, mm-hmm. right? That's going to be the beginning. As you inhale, you want to relax. A lot of people, when they inhale, they clench, and when they exhale, relax. I need you to reverse that breathing. It's really, 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 really going to help. So you inhale, you feel it relax. As you exhale, there's just a slight engagement. You can add more engagement if you'd want, as long as when you inhale again, you let the pelvic floor go. So that'll be like number one thing.
Wait, why that opposite of the breathing?
Because
usually
of your breathing mechanics with the thoracic diaphragm, the way the biomechanics work is that downward pressure, if you're also pushing up, basically your thoracic diaphragm, inside your belly, there's like a sack of organs, right? And if you hold the bottom contracted, you have slight tension in your belly, which is why relaxing your belly is so important. If you have that contraction in your belly, you have that contraction in the pelvic floor, when you breathe in, you can't breathe deeply. Your diaphragm has nowhere to go. So the more you can relax your belly and your pelvic floor, your breath can go deeper, can be more soothing to your polyvagal complex. Like it's just a really all around beneficial thing. But if you're maintaining tension at the bottom, the thoracic diaphragm has a limited range of motion that it can access.
I've been trying it while you're talking, and my energetic yoni feels really relaxed. It's actually
great. I was actually seeing it in your eyes I was like, yeah. I was like, why does
we do have
this
energetic
so weird?
Yonis, don't we though? Like, it's, like men do, right? Isn't that a thing? We have energetic. You have energetic. What's the female spiritual dick again?
Spiritual dick lingam?
Lingam, thank you.
Wow.
That's
yes.
what it's called. Yeah, lingam. Yeah. Yeah, lingam yeah. And yoni.
I just don't think anyone's ever called it a spiritual dick before.
I'm sure.
You might be the first.
I'm sure. Spiritual dick. That's what I call a lot of guys in Ubud.
Wow, yeah.
Get out of my way, you spiritual dick. For the fucking man buns and all that. Sorry, it's very judgmental of me. But there's spiritual dicks out there.
There are. Yeah. There are. Yeah. Yes. Get not just lingams.
Way. Yeah, no. So, okay, we got into that. And also for the fellas, I want to go through your list, though. It was really amazing of like the key things to actually be better at sex. But also we listed something important for the ladies, like, hey, you know, how do we orgasm? And so if there's more on that, let's just jump into it. But also I want to make sure the fellas got something for there's so much of erectile dysfunction. Yeah. There's so much premature ejaculation, you know, and I think this is a great thing to touch on because I know you've been helping guys with that as well.
Yeah.
If there's anything more for the ladies, let's make sure they come first. Yeah, you see what I did there?
So good. Yeah. That was good. Okay, yeah, let's just stick with women for one more minute. I just want to really make sure. So you know that you can orgasm. You've been practicing this breathing technique. Talk
to your partner. And again, it's how you talk to your partner. If I'm giving my partner a blowjob and he says, oh, I hate it when you do it like that, I will never give that man a blowjob again, ever, ever. You know, like, they're just like us. They don't want to be, like, verbally smacked around. I mean, maybe they do again. That's another kink. It's that's totally fine. Yeah. But if we're talking about, like, trying to get your partner, it's like, oh, it's so hot when you do this, right? Or, like, afterwards, you're like, oh, my gosh, when you, you know, did that thing with your tongue, or, you know, when you made out with my pussy the way you make out with my mouth, like, it so aroused me. Because whatever you are telling your partner you loved, they want to do more of, right? It's like, oh my gosh, I thought I was going to explode when you did this one thing with your hand, right? They're going to do that one thing with their hand again, you know?
Yeah.
So being really intentional. And if it's not good, you don't have to be like, that was shit. That sex was shit. Don't do that. Nobody wants to hear that. Say something loving. It's like, hey, I felt like I was really disconnected from you when we were intimate last night. I want to do this again. I want us to feel like really close. I've been thinking about this, you know, sexual act. I've been thinking about, you know, maybe I'd like to play with my vibrator while we're having sex tonight. What do you think? And if you're having this conversation, like, you know, text, or if you're having this conversation in person and it's outside of the bedroom and it's in the context of like, hey, let's do it. There's people are so much more receptive, right? You don't have your guard up. You don't get, you don't feel that stab.
Oh, you can totally feel really dejected and attacked. And it's sex is such an intimate thing, right? It's so personal. So you got to be framing these conversations in the right way. Like, hey, I'd love to try this.
Yeah.
I think it'd be hot if we tried this. It was great when you did this. Let's do more of this.
Yeah.
You know, that thing, maybe it didn't quite work for me, but let's try this. Like, we got to, again, give a proposal rather than the command.
Yeah.
And that's quite helpful when you're telling people to do, especially when something that's so intimate and ego-based. Of course, it's good to touch your ego because you want to be a sex god. You want to hear it.
Yeah.
You know, times hearing, you're like, you're the best sex I ever had. People love hearing that shit.
Of course.
I know I do. I hear it all the time.
Me too. Me too, all the time.
So, you know, it's important. It's not all the time. It's not like that fucking... It's not like every day is a different person. It's not like that. But anyways, so go on. It's painting myself into a corner here.
So for the guys, let's kind of move on. So the thing what I'm telling you about your pelvic floor, so this is going to increase blood flow, circulation, sensitivity. Those are three main things you need for a firm, hard dick, right? Is sensitivity, blood flow, circulation. You need all of that going on.
Okay.
Now, if you're someone who premature ejaculates, you're going to play with that breath again, right? Remember what I said about, like, if you're holding your breath, you're kind of keeping things inside, right? So taking a breath in when you're at like 70%, right? And then you kind of eventually push yourself towards the edge, right? So say you know this is something that you're working with. Okay, so the next time I have sex, and I would highly recommend doing this solo, the next time you're having a solo pleasure experience, you want to take yourself to 70% and you want to pause and you want to breathe and you want to hold that sensation and then do it again.
Wait, pause, breathe, or pause, hold your breath?
So if you're solo, you can probably pause, breathe.
Okay.
If you're inside of a partner you pause, they're not just going to like...
Yeah, wait for you.
Right?
Yeah.
They're going to want to keep the energy moving. So then you might want to pause, hold your breath. If you're on your own and you stop, then probably the sensations are going to slow down a little bit.
Again,
you can hold your breath if you're on your own, but it's more when you're with a partner that you're really going to want to hold that energy in, slow the situation back down, right?
Okay, okay.
And again, this can be something you can talk about with a partner and say like, hey, I want to play with this new technique. I'm going to occasionally pause. It doesn't mean I'm not enjoying it. I'm just going to need to pause and then maybe go slow. And your partner will want to play with it. And maybe there's like an edging experience you can explore solo with your partner. Like it's a whole range of experiences that you can play in that isn't going over to the edge. I do want to touch on circumcised versus uncircumcised. So men that have been circumcised often can experience desensitization of the tip because of the way the exposed end of the penis is touching things all the time, clothes, whatever.
Yeah.
And it's designed to be protected.
Your dart arm's getting handled all the time.
What?
What? Go on. Sorry. It's so dumb. You think of the doorknob.
Oh my God.
Yeah, okay. Go on.
Anyway, So this is something to be aware of. And if you're someone that has a hard time coming or you have a hard time maintaining an erection, again, these breathing exercises, going gently on your body. Mm. So what I see very, very often in men, I see what I know is happening. I'm not visually seeing
just
it.
Watching all the time.
Yeah, I'm just watching all the time. Is that men like become desensitized, so they get more and more intense with themselves. They're jerking themselves off, they're firm grip. And then they've got two hands firm grip. You know, like it's a wild, wild west out there. If that's you, okay, cool. You're in a place where you're desensitized. Let's step it back. We need to find a way for you to become more sensitive because it's harder and harder to connect if you're desensitized, if you're not physically feeling your partner, if you're having to force like hard sex in order to be able to have that orgasmic experience, you want to resensitize. So practices that are going to do that is like, again, this pelvic floor work I think is really, really important. Slowing down the way you touch yourself, becoming more sensual in the way that you touch yourself when you're solo. At first, you might feel like an idiot and you're like, I can't believe I'm doing this, like that weird girl on the podcast. Mm-hmm. But eventually it gets to a point where it's like, oh, that sensation is arousing. That does feel good. And that'll help men maintain their erection. That'll help men be more sensitive, be more connected in the sex.
I love that. You know, that's an important one. And something that I saw correlation to is in meditation and in the breath, because in Vipassana, you want to get to that subtle breath. And the more subtle that you can feel things, the actually more deep and magical they can get.
Yeah.
So at the start, when we're like, take a breath, and you're like, you're just like, dude, you're not doing a line, chill out. You know, it's like the people are snorting the breath there. Yep. It's like, no. How subtle can you breathe? Like, try it right now if you're listening, but like, can you breathe in extremely subtle? Just the slowest, most subtle breath, and feel how that feels in difference to something else, to when you're, you know, kind of thing. And that really helps. I did it so hard, my nose was like, what are you doing? You're not 25 again. Stop it. And so, you know, it's important to actually feel the subtle sensations. And I found that, you know, again, when I was studying Tantra, was like slowing down and feeling as subtle of a sensation as possible.
Yeah.
Because that gross sensation, it's kind of like, you know, when you're like making out when you're 17, you're like,
Your
person's tongue is like all up in your face. You're like, holy shit, this is kissing.
Easy. Kissing is shit.
Predator, you know, or alien. I think it's alien. So, you know, so it's like, you know, chill out on that. And then when you know, get a little bit more skilled and you're a little bit more, you know, sensual and slow, that softness is what really, that's so much more sensation. Yeah. It's so much more beautiful. So when you kiss someone slow and sensually, it's so much more sexy. It's so much more, what's the word for it? And arousing, I found for lucky ladies I've kissed.
Aren't they lucky?
It's so hard not to be a dick about this. A spiritual dick.
That's you.
That's me being a spiritual dick right now. Full circle.
I think also I want to bring it back to, because I think someone listening to this might be like, okay, yeah, but I like it hard and rough.
Yeah, sure.
You can have hard and rough sex and still have epic orgasms.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that it's one or the other. You can have both. But if you're sensitive enough that when you're with your partner, you can feel him penetrating you, or he can feel all of what's happening inside of her, like as he's moving in and out, fingers, tongue, whatever it is, if you are that level of sensitive, imagine how much more the experience is going to be when you go hard and kinky, right? Like, I'm not asking you to give up one. I'm just asking you to be so sensitive that you're choosing the experience you have, not necessarily forcing yourself into one box of type of pleasure, because that's all you can do. It's like, oh, I can only come if I'm watching porn. Mm-hmm, oh, I can only come if it's like hard and fast and doggy style. Oh, it's only, I'm asking you to be able to have all of the experience that you want to have.
So to find pleasure in something that, you know, might help, to actually just find pleasure in things that weren't working or weren't your go-to.
Yeah.
What about the other end of the experience for guys with anteaters? Uncircumcised. There's just so many dumb jokes to be made in this topic. I'm sorry.
It's like you can't even look at me and not make jokes.
No, that's the context of our friendship. We're just so fucking dumb.
So true. Okay, so men who are uncircumcised, the stereotype that you hear is that they're going
stereotype?
Yeah. Oh my God.
Okay, go on.
Sorry. Is that there's premature ejaculation, right? This is obviously not true. This is something that happens to everyone. The reason it might be, and I like might, who knows, it might be more common in uncircumcised men is because they have the pleasure of more sensitivity on the tip, right? Mm-hmm. So then when they are having pleasure, their tip is experiencing, there's more sensational feedback. So again, there is an ability to channel this sensitivity and work to really move that energy through your body rather than losing it through ejaculation. Mm-hmm. But it does take practice. Yeah. So again, in the same way that I'm like preaching to women, you can have all the orgasms you want. Men, you are not going to premature ejaculate or not be able to hold your orgasm back for forever. You are fully capable of controlling it. It's not luck of the draw. Some people, 100%, yes, it is a bit easier for them because of whatever's happened in their life. But if you would like to have that control, it is physically possible for you.
Yeah, okay. So when you're having issues of premature ejaculation, what are some quick actionable steps?
Again, taking control of your breath, hold your breath.
Okay.
I don't recommend clenching your jaw, but I often see that in people who are trying to maintain tension. There's like a jaw clench that happens.
Yeah.
So again, this is like kind of prevents orgasm. Everybody listening is like doing weird things with their jaw. So again, if you are just at the beginning of your journey of trying to regain control over premature ejaculation, then that's something to be aware of, like firming up your jaw, holding your breath. Long term, those are not sustainable practices, but when you're at the very start and you're just trying to get control of it, that's a starting point. And then slowly, again, I really use your self-practice or your self-pleasure practice to support this. It's like bring yourself to 70%, pause, experience that, let the energy go down, and then bring it back up again.
What I like about that is actually having a self-pleasure practice that's kind of like a training day for being better at sex instead of just like, you know, oh, I'm stressed out, I'm going to beat one off, or, you know, it's like, or like I can't sleep or something to that effect that, you know, guys often do, but actually
do.
Yeah, exactly. For them to actually do it in a way that is training to be better at sex. And I think, you know, females can do that as well, you know, in the sense, cause we've talked about this before, like excessive use of vibrators, excessive use of toys can desensitize the vagina and you're like, you're not able to orgasm while you're having, actually having, you know, partnered sex. And same with guys in porn and maybe even females with porn. And then you're just overstimulation, mm-hmm. and then you just can't even, you're not even be able to stay hard or have an orgasm because you've been stimulating the shit out of yourself. Mm-hmm. And then you can't, then you just can't do it when you're in game day, you know, like in that sense. So I like that idea of actually using your masturbation practice, self-pleasure practice as a way to get better when it's time to actually be sensual. I've had a friend of mine, let's call him Darren, it's not me. and so if he was worried about that issue and say he was expecting to have sex that night and it was like a new partner or something that he would masturbate earlier in the day, mm-hmm. just to get one out so he wouldn't come so soon or something.
Yeah.
Does that make any sense?
Sure, it can make sense. The thing that I just want to be mindful of is that you're using your sexual energy in a mindful way. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be super candid here. If I'm going on a date with a guy, he's got potential. I don't want to jump his bones. Like I'm trying to hold myself back. I will 100% orgasm multiple times before going on the date because I would like for my brain to be
clear and
steady.
You want to take it slow. You should get a few out before you go.
But again, for me, that's something, and I'm very aware of what I'm doing. I'm very aware of this being pleasure for my body and part of the excitement that I build in my own body rather than like feeling that I need to rush to release it with him. Mm. I feel like I get to have that with me. I connect with myself in a deeper way so that I'm going in more of me, right? So I think it can be a great practice to like experience pleasure and to feel like you're connected to yourself before going in. But if you're doing it out of like shame or guilt, like, oh fuck, I don't want to be that guy that you know, 10 second guy that she hooked up with, you know, like I gotta, you know, like there's that shame and guilt and kind of like embarrassment. Like that's a shit you got to get rid of. It's like, and the other thing I want to go back to is because you said it so well, it's like, this is our practice for game day. Women, especially, we are killers at getting our own selves off. We get in the bedroom and we're like, why can't they do it?
Yeah.
Figure it out. We have had thousands of days with our body that these our partners have not had. So lovingly express how you want to be touched. You know, I think mutual masturbation is one of the hottest things ever because I get to see how my partner touches himself, right? I get to show him how I touch myself, you know, and to set up a date with your partner, especially if you're with someone, you love them and you want to have more orgasmic experiences, they can get themselves off. Okay, so watch, right? Something you might learn is like maybe their vibrator is like really intense and they have to go really hard. Or again, for me, I've seen men definitely go insanely hard on themselves. And I'm like, okay, so when we're having sex, you're having a very different experience to me. You need it way more intense than I need it, or vice versa, right? Okay, I learned this through our mutual masturbation practice. So now when we're having sex, I can be aware that this is going to be a struggle for you, right? So how can I be supportive? How can I be sensual? How can I help you have the best experience and work on those things?
I like that. That's pretty interesting. Yeah, nobody gives me better hand jobs than me. No, this is like a guy thing though. Like we're that. It's just like you know yourself. You know how you want to be touched.
I know, but you do the same go-to boring thing every time. We've got tricks.
Fair. Fair enough. Yeah, that's so true. Guys don't really do tricks on themselves.
No.
It's not really a thing. They're like busting out a grapefruit or something. That video though. If you guys haven't
seen the grapefruit video.
If you have not, after you.
I think that was like one of the first videos you ever showed me.
Hilarious. Oh my God. It's just like you guys got a lot. Yeah, it's so ridiculous. So after you like, follow, and subscribe to my stuff, go on YouTube and search grapefruit blowjob tutorial. And there's this black lady and she's so professional talking about like how you need to cut open a grapefruit and you core it so it can go around a penis. And she's talking about it and she's like, you know, gives you a tutorial how to cut it and then how you gotta put it on. And then when she gets the chance to actually do it, she goes into it.
She goes ham.
She's like, she just goes ham. And it's so unexpected and hilarious.
So good.
It's about a minute and a half in. And it's
you gotta stick with it
but it's so fucking funny. And I showed it to her and it's like every friend I've showed that you just cry laughing because you're like, good. What the fuck. It's worth it Sorry in advance, but it's quite funny. Anyways,
don't watch it in a public place.
Headphones on, but you're gonna laugh. Okay, so we did breathing. Now to circle back. So we covered female ejaculation. Sorry, female. It's not really an ejaculation, is it?
Sometimes.
Premature for guys. Staying hard. Mm-hmm. Blood flow, circulation, sensitivity.
Yeah,
I got it right. Okay, cool. Is there any other tricks to stay hard?
I mean, diet. Like that's these are like diet and exercise. Like, let's not kid ourselves. If you're eating like shit, you feel like shit, your body's not going to do its optimal performance, right? Yeah. Being hard is optional, right? Like breathing is not optional. Your body always has to breathe. You're going to keep doing that. And you can see when you're out of shape, when you're eating unhealthy, when your lifestyle has gone down, you know, it's like that kind of like labored breathing, right? And you notice that as you get healthier, your breath feels easier. It moves easier, that kind of thing. So, you know, there's that kind of thing. If you're a smoker, if you drink a lot, those types of things are going to impact your erection, right? Your body prioritizes circulation and blood flow to the areas that need it the most. Yeah. And your dick, unfortunately, is not that area.
I tend to disagree. But yeah, fair enough.
Tell that to your nervous system. The same thing with our pussy, right? Yeah. It's not the area that your body's like, this is the most, the clit needs to get blood flow and circulation. It's like, no, actually, your liver really needs a lot of support right now because of what you did last night. So I don't know that I'm, you know, so I think that there's really important to
be
understand.
Be healthy enough to fuck.
Yeah.
What was that thing though? And you should, you know, if you're not, come on guys. You know, just
take care of you.
Listen to a few other episodes of the podcast. There's some good ones on the last one, Ryan Kennedy, that just came out. Sorry. So by the time this comes out, but Ryan Kennedy had how to help the healthiest day of your life.
Yeah. Great. Really inspiring.
I heard there was a trick as well to hold the base of the penis to keep it hard. Like there was something around that.
Yeah, sure. I mean, like that's where the cock rings come in. Okay. Right. I mean, yeah, that's definitely a way, like, as a partner to grip onto it, for sure. But again, these are Band-Aid solutions.
Okay.
Really zooming out, right? Because, like, if you only address the issue that's happening in the bedroom while you're in the bedroom, as far as I'm concerned, you're up the creek without a paddle. Like, you're it's good luck at the best of times, right? Mm. Especially any woman that's ever been like, no, I can do it this time. I'm going to orgasm this time.
Yeah, and she never,
like,
it's a lot of pressure.
If she gets there, it's that little cherry bomb, like, oh.
Oh, no. It's the same with guys. Like, I'll stay hard. Don't just stay hard. Just stay hard. And you're in your head about it, and you're like, I might be going soft. And then it's just an avalanche.
Yes. Of like, no, stay hard.
Don't fucking stay hard. Why are you going soft? Oh, no, she didn't notice it. And it's just like this whole torment. And it's just the most embarrassing thing. Guys hate it. It's not fun. You know, it's not obvious.
Well, I think like we got to back this up because we're all talking about like this penetrative sex.
Yeah.
But the fact is that sex is the whole experience, right? So I love to tell this story. I had a much older partner a while ago. And and our and he would lose an erection, right? Like he was definitely of an age that it was coming and it was going, and you know maybe there were some things he could have done to support it, but he never let it impact our experiences.
Yeah,
we would be in the middle of having sex. He would start to go soft, and then all of a sudden, he'd be like going down on me or fingering me or playing around, and then we'd be in this sensual, intimate, sexy play, and then maybe he'd get hard again, and then we'd start having penetration. Yeah. But it never felt to me like we stopped having sex. It felt like that whole experience was sexual. And, you know, even I know that some men from desensitization or, you know, whatever issues are, it's hard for them to orgasm. And even if they never hit the point of, you know, ejaculation, it's still sex. It's still a great experience. And I think that that's really important to like zoom out and see that even if you don't stay hard, even if everything goes to shit and, you know, you do the embarrassing thing that you're, the only thing that makes it embarrassing is you being embarrassed. We just want to be intimate and connected. Mm-hmm. Whoever you're with just wants to feel intimate and connected with you. And if you can maintain that intimacy and connection, even if it's not going the ideal way for you, women or men, then I think that's where we really drop into these really epic experiences. Mm,
I like that. I like that. Yeah, that's interesting. Switch it up.
Yep.
If you're losing it, switch it up. Focus on them. You know, provide some pleasure. Switch it up a little bit. I think that's important. Now, you had a couple more things in your list after breathing for getting back to being a sex god.
Yeah.
What were some of the other ones?
So one of the things that I really have a lot of my clients do is called the NSP list, which is non-sexual pleasures. Hmm. So how you do one thing is how you do everything, and where your attention goes, energy is flowing, right? So in your day-to-day life, this is back to what's happening outside of the bedroom. Where do you experience pleasure, right? So I know something that's wildly pleasurable for me is the sensation of breeze on my skin. Now, I happen to live in a country where I'm not in a parka for 9 months out of the year. And so I get to have that. But anytime I feel like that gust of wind on my skin, if I really like feel it, it's so good. I love the way that feels. I love the sound of snow in the winter when you're like walking through the snow.
Crunch,
yeah.
Crunch.
I love the first taste of coffee in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
It is so good.
Mm-hmm.
And if you let yourself drop into those pleasurable experiences, it allows you to drop into sexual pleasure easier. So if you're making a habit in your day-to-day life, so most of us love coffee. Maybe not most, I don't know.
That cappuccino you made me at Dylan's the other day was bomb. Once we figured out how to use the machine. That was
yeah,
amazing.
Yeah.
It is really damn good.
When you have your first sip, if you let yourself feel that coffee. So the way I actually learned to meditate was through coffee, believe it or not, is because I had a really hard time with the sitting business and then I was always distracted. So I had a white cup and I would pour my coffee, black coffee, into this white cup. And I would look at it and I would see the color of the coffee, right? It's this brown, black, sometimes it's light brown. And so observe the color. And then I would take a sip and I would feel all of the sensations of that coffee, the taste in my mouth, the sensation of warmth as it goes down my throat, like, and where I stop feeling the coffee, right? My hands are around the mug. I can feel the sensation of warmth on my hands, the smell in the air. So you really let yourself be fully present with that cup of coffee. And you're conditioning your brain to be fully present when there's pleasure. A lot of us have a hard time receiving and accepting and enjoying because we've got 50,000 things on our minds to do, right? There's so many people that struggle with, like, they get into bed and they're thinking about doing the laundry, they're thinking about the cooking, they're thinking about the errands they need to run, that thing they need to post. Like,
And so if we can train our brains that when there's pleasure, we drop into that moment, it makes it a lot easier during sex to stay present, to stay where you are, and to really feel as much of it as you can.
I like that, because we can. That helps you just live a better life anyways. That's just like active mindfulness. That's tantra. Mm-hmm. You're literally relating to everything around you in a deeper way and experiencing life in a way that's deep, like it's juicy. And I love doing that because everything that you then do is so much better.
Yeah.
Like when I'm driving and I'll just really just, okay, just drop into this and just feel the steering wheel. Okay, like it feels good. The coffee thing's a good one. You know, I like doing that. And I like my peppermint essential oils as well. That's like my pre-podcast ritual. And anything ritual. I love that stuff. And so really dropping into non-sensual pleasures, I actually really like that. That's nice.
And
so
if
that's
you're in partnership, right? Like when you're with your partner, a good way to connect with them and to build arousal and like kind of attraction is dropping into the non-sexual pleasures, right? I mean, we all have those things about our partners, like the way they laugh at a joke or the way they do that thing with their hair or you know, the way they like brush their hand against you and really drop into that sensation, you know, that funny meme they send, you know, like allow yourself to be present with like, I love when he sends me this because it means he was thinking about me when he was on social media. You know, like I know it sounds so silly, but the more you condition your brain to find that pleasure, the more pleasure you get to feel.
Absolutely. And I think that's so important just in anything in life. If you're looking for negatives, like it's
exactly,
you know, having a pessimistic mindset ruins your life, absolutely ruins your life. But if you're looking for pleasure in everything you do, your life's dope.
Yeah.
You have a great life.
You really do.
You really do. And that was like when I learned to walk again. I'm like, walking's awesome. I love this shit.
I actually want to say that this is the first time we've recorded anything together where you were sitting down because you wanted to, opposed to sitting down because we had to.
Oh my God. Because we filmed a bunch of stuff for Made Hot.
So much.
And all that. And I was on two crutches. I could barely move. We were like, I had to sit down. I was all banged up. I'd have to give the crutches to the filming.
The camera guy, the camera and they would take them away and then bring them back to you.
I gotta move, guys. Can you pass my crutches and get back on?
Yeah.
It was crazy times. You've been my friend through the whole accident. And then you saw me, I think, when I left for Vancouver, I was on two crutches. Yeah. And then you came and visited me in Vancouver. I'm like, look, I can walk.
No, that's not true. You had a cane.
Oh, yeah.
Remember the sword cane?
The sword cane. No, the sword cane was here. I didn't bring it to Canada.
Didn't you?
No.
You definitely had a cane
when we
were in
Canada.
I
had a cane in Canada. Yeah. I had a regular cane.
Boring.
Peasant cane. So yeah, no, that was crazy times. Mm-hmm. I remember being in the hospital and I had a catheter in, good times. And when they took the catheter out and I got an erection for the first time, I was like, yes!
I remember that too.
So I called you. I called you.
You were like, voice note.
Yeah.
Notes of you peeing and like, oh my God, oh my God.
Yeah, that was when they took the catheter out, but they had to check to see if my bladder was healed because it was ruptured. And so they filled my bladder with this radioactive, like not radioactive, but you can see it, you know, the dye. So you can see it in an x-ray. But before they did that, they gave me a whole bunch of fentanyl and a whole morphine. And then when I get down there, they're like, we're gonna give you something else for the pain. And they're like, here's ketamine. And I'm like, wait a minute. I'm on ketamine, fentanyl, and morphine. I'm like, okay, this is gonna be an interesting journey. And they pumped me full of fentanyl and the ketamine, and I instantly was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Things shifted. It was interesting. And then they put the bladder fluid in me, and they're like, look, on the x-ray machine, like, look, your bladder's holding liquid. And I looked over at the screen, and it was melting. And I'm just like, cool. Like, yay.
Yeah. And this was the opportunity to voice note me and let me know.
Once I got back into the room, but my bladder was full, I really had to pee, and it was super painful. And it was taking so long to pee. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I just need to pee. Like, I was trying everything I could, just please pee, just get this out of me. And then while I was peeing, it was so painful, but it felt so good at the same time. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Jenna, high as fuck. I can pee, Jenna, I can pee. Like, it was ridiculous.
Yeah, it was.
Good times. Okay, so what's next?
I mean, there's so many different, but I feel like this is a good foundation. One of the things I wanted to talk to you about this is, why is this worth doing? Mm-hmm. Right? Because at the beginning of your podcast, you say,
give, connect, inspire.
Right. Yeah. So if we're talking about like inspiring and giving and connecting, like what does having sex like a goddess really matter? Like, why would that be? And I think I really want to
to drop into this because how you show up in one way is how you're going to show up in all the ways, right? So if you're showing up with messy energy and you're letting shit get sloppy and you're bringing, you know, bad energy into your body and you're faking orgasms because you don't want to be honest, this stuff leaks into the rest of our lives, right? One of the things that my really good friend and I have discussed is that her and I's relationship, our friendship, has really given us an opportunity to practice the things that we want to be really good at in our romantic partnerships, right? And so in the same way that you experiencing pleasure in your day-to-day life allows you to experience pleasure, it allows you to show up in your work life in a more authentic way, to be honest, to communicate, to prioritize authenticity, right? These are all characteristics of the people that we want to grow and develop into, right? So outside of the bedroom, you're working on these things. This is a person you want to be. So why would you not want to also have these practices in the bedroom so that you're really having that well-rounded growth? You know, you don't just want to grow in one area. You want all of you to develop and grow. So I think leaving out your sex life is really just like, you know, you have a hole in the boat. Like, why wouldn't you patch that one hole? Why wouldn't you like explore how do I work on this so that I'm not leaking anywhere? Yeah. So I think I really wanted to talk about that. I think that's important.
I like that one. And I think everybody wants to be confident and be a good lover. Like, I think it's important. If you feel confident in bed, you know, it's just you feel good about it, right? And it helps you feel confident in other ways. But, you know, just bringing your best self into the bedroom, I think it's a lot around devotion and care as well.
Absolutely.
You want the other person to feel pleasure.
Yeah, you know, and this happens whether it's like a long-term partner. I'm sorry, I keep interrupting you. I just get so excited when we're talking. It's whether it's a long-term partner or, you know, you're still casually dating. Like, there's no right or wrong way to do this, you know? Whether you want to go to sex parties or you want to be in a monogamous relationship for the rest of your
romance
life.
Romance or raw dog and randoms? You probably shouldn't raw dog randoms, so don't do it. Use condoms.
Be mindful.
Use condoms.
Yes, exactly. That's what I'm talking about. So I think it's really important that we look at all these aspects and that we're bringing our best self into these places.
No, I love that. I think there's a lot of great value for people that are like, okay, I want to be a sex god. I want to be a sex goddess. What it really means is connect yourself deeper, connect to the present moment deeper, really be there and talk to and communicate to your partner and communicate to who you're with and
communicate honestly to yourself. Like sometimes we tell ourselves such lies like, oh, I'm just not a sexual being. Are you not a sexual being? Or did you have a sexual trauma that you've never talked about? Are you, you know, it's like, oh, I just want sex all the time. Do you want sex all the time? Or are you not really connected with yourself and you're just looking for the next spike of dopamine? Yeah. You know, like really communicate with yourself honestly. And that's going to, if and when you have a partner or partners, you're able to have that in the bedroom, right?
Yeah, I love it. Do you think by the time this gets out, your side note, random switch product placement, do you think your brand of pleasuring tools are going to be out by the time this is up?
Oh, wow. I can't believe you're bringing this up.
She's doing a line of action figure themed dildos. She got the Ninja Turtles.
I am not.
The Spider-Man.
That is a lie. I'm not doing any of those things. I'm not doing those things. No. I do have something, a product that I am really excited to launch. It is something that I've put a lot of time and energy and love and I'm really excited. I actually don't know. Okay. Our goal is to launch it in the new year.
Okay.
So yeah, you just kind of have to stay
follow
space.
Jen on Instagram and she'll see and she'll be like, yo, my dildos are out. She'll probably say it in a conscious way and not like how I would say it because I'm an asshole.
You're hilarious.
So she was coming out the other day and we get to our buddy Dylan's house and she just shows me like this like a carved out black dildo. It was like a prototype.
3D printed.
3D printed dildo.
Random on Fiverr is like, I'm sorry, what do you want?
And then to make that here, you'd have to be like, it's a decoration. It's a decorative tool.
It's a whole experience.
Of course. So it's just a funny project that my friend's making dildos. I'm just like, that's, and I'm in Australia and she's like, can you get these sex toys sent to me? She's getting sponsored by somebody. And she's like, you know, it's hard to get them into Bali. And, you know, I was in my detour in Australia and she's like, can we send you dildos to smuggle into Bali? And I'm like, what?
Only if they're big and black
huge,
and veiny.
Huge, big, black, double-sided.
Just so that's more believable.
Yeah.
At at the border. Yeah, you know, they know it's yours.
Of course it's yours. He's just like one of those huge ones. And they're like, yeah, it's Wesley Snipes. assuming he's got a big one. Yeah, thank you, Jenna, so much. Where can people find you? What can people, how can people work with you? How do you help people? After and aside from your dildos, how are you helping the world?
Oh my gosh, you're hilarious. So one-on-one coaching is obviously the best way to work with me. If you're struggling, there's definitely a lot of things. I'm super happy to share as much as I can with as many people as I can. And then we're all unique individuals with our own unique circumstances. So one-on-one coaching is definitely the way to go. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can do that through, you can contact me through Instagram. I have an assistant coach who is also a sex coach. She's amazing. She's really like chatting with people to kind of see if we're a match, right? Because I want to work with people who are ready to change and people that I can support. Yeah. And I also know that I can't do everything.
Sure.
So I think it's really important that you align with the person that you're talking to.
Very important.
You know this in your coaching, right?
Of course.
Super important.
Super important.
So that's basically, that's the best way to contact social media, my website. I have a free ebook that is all, man, I just like shared as much as I possibly could in this free ebook. I think it's like almost 60 pages. So like definitely download that.
Well,
it's got a lot of tips.
We'll put the link in the bio. Make sure you give it to me later.
Yeah, I will.
So a link in bio or the link in the show notes. And that's awesome. And her Instagram content's hilarious now. So if you want to see some funny sexy memes and just like, they're pretty good. So I enjoy them because your content fucking sucked before. And it's actually so much better now. So I love it. It's great.
Oh my gosh. Shout out to my assistant.
Jenna, thank you. You're one of my dearest friends, and I appreciate you for coming on today's episode and fucking begging me to get on it. I appreciate it, and I'm so happy you came because I think it's a great episode. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And thank you to Lighthouse Studios here in Bali for hosting us and being the premier content creation studio and cafe workspace here in Bali. If you need to shoot something, come here, shoot us a DM. We'll give you a free coffee, and we'll give you a tour. And please share the episode. If you can, I'd love to get this podcast out there so we can get more guests and help more people. We do this for free for you to give, connect, and inspire so you can live a better life and learn some cool shit and be entertained and have some laughs, right? So help me get this out there, please. Do me a big favor. I really appreciate it. Just give me a follow, a subscribe. Jenna will probably send you one of her prototype dildos, like one of the first ones.
No, she won't.
It'd be a bit janky.
That's not happening.
You might get some splinters or whatever, but it's like a souvenir. Don't put it inside you. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode of the Ink Pray Love Podcast. Big love, homies. Peace. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Ink Pray Love Podcast. I hope you found it inspiring, entertaining, funny, and also feeling a little bit more present and connected to yourself. Please leave a review and like and subscribe and do all those things. I'd really appreciate that. As well as if you're feeling in a giving mood, this podcast is there for the charities that I love to support. Go to www.aaronbaya.com/charity and get some of those good karma points. This podcast is brought to you by Lighthouse Studios in Bali, as well as Full Reset Coaching. That is my coaching practice. And if you're looking for help in business, inner game impact, and building your legacy to be something you're proud of, your brand, your business, and how you walk the earth and who you impact, and also having the mindset and the heart set to be able to be happy handling it all. I'm here for you. Just DM me. Let's go. Peace out, homies. I'll see you on the next episode.